With so much misinformation swirling around us on social media, responsible people try to get the real story from mainstream media, which is often a great decision, but not so much when the question is religion and American life. Perhaps it's because one large subgroup of people of faith screams the loudest these days, but a simplistic shorthand for our fractured culture always seems to pit good old God-fearing families against immigrants, racial minorities, and LGBTQI plus folk. As the U.S. Senate prepares to grapple with the Equality Act, common sense legislation providing at long last fundamental protections for all Americans, the predictable coverage highlights the contorted objections of the political religious right. But if you ask the public, a majority of people of faith support those kinds of protections. Thankfully, someone is asking, and that is Dr. Robert P. Jones, who is the CEO of Public Religion Research Institute, and I am happy to welcome him back to State of Belief Radio. Robbie, thanks for being with us again.
Thanks, I'm glad to be here.
So let's start with the timely issue. You've polled Americans on anti-gay discrimination, even when couched in terms of religious sensitivities. What's the verdict?
Yeah, well, we've been polling on this for some time, and the verdict is in fact what it's been for some time, and that is that really super majorities of Americans support basically the tenets of the Equality Act, that is non-discrimination protections for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people in the country, and that's been true for quite some time. And even if you ask specifically about, for example, like whether a business owner ought to be able to refuse services to gay and lesbian people based on their religious beliefs. Even if you ask it that way, we have three quarters of the country today that says no, they should not be allowed to do that. And in fact, in our most recent survey, just a few weeks out, we find that in fact all religious groups, including white evangelical Protestants for the first time, oppose these kinds of religious exemptions to broad laws to protect rights for LGBTQ people in the country.
What kind of shift is that in the last few years?
You know, on the more conservative end, it's just a few point shift. They've been sort of in the mid 40s, and now they're at 53% opposing. That's white evangelicals are 53% opposing. So they're still 20 points out of, a little more than 20 points out of step with the mainstream of the country. And I should say that there's no other religious group that conflicted on it. Like every other major religious group in the country is up around two-thirds or more opposing these kinds of religious exemptions. So as you said, it's not at all a kind of religious versus secular or even Christian versus non-Christian kind of conflict in the country. I mean, really, is at this point, it's sort of white evangelicals as outliers, as they are on many of these kinds of issues. But even there, they have now crossed the line to join their fellow people of faith in opposing these kinds of exemptions.
I know that sometimes we like to interchange Christian and Republican in these polls as well. It's not always the case, but if you put the overlay of Republican political affiliation on this, is it significantly different?
Well, white evangelicals, as you know, voted about 8 in 10 for Trump. So if you filter white evangelicals on Republican, you don't actually lose that many of them. So it shifts a little bit, but not substantively, given that they're so heavily so heavily partisan in the first place.
More broadly, then, where do we stand with public attitudes toward religious liberty claims, and who sees whose rights as being restricted?
Yeah. Well, we also asked in the same poll that we were talking about earlier, some broad questions about religious liberty. What does it mean? Who feels like it's under threat? And what is really remarkable in the country, especially given that our politics are so full of these kinds of religious liberty claims, as are our legislatures full of these kind of bills around religious liberty, it's only about 4 in 10 Americans that even generically think that religious liberty is under attack today. The vast majority of Americans don't believe that. And that group is, overwhelmingly, again, I'm going to sound like a little bit of a broken record here, but white evangelicals are the only religious group, right, who believes that their religious liberty is under attack. Less than half of every other religious group. So white Catholics, white mainline Protestants, Protestants of color, none of them are in majority territory saying religious liberty is under attack. It really is coming from this one segment of the population, white evangelical Protestants. Among that group, 72% believes that their religious liberty is under attack.
Is there any kind of trend we should be paying attention to, or is that held pretty firm?
You know, that's been, it hasn't shifted quite dramatically. I mean, I'd say the one thing we see over time is that white evangelicals, if we rewind the clock on many of these issues, 10 years ago, white evangelicals look more, are much closer to the center of American public opinion. And so what has happened is as American public opinion has moved to being more supportive of LGBTQ rights, less likely to believe that these kinds of religious exemptions should exist to non-discrimination laws, white evangelicals have increasingly, and I should say Republicans as well, have become increasingly out of step with the mainstream of the country. So they just kind of, it's sort of like, they were an island just barely off the coast. And as the country has, the tectonic plates have moved, they find themselves further and further, out to shore, away from shore.
It's sort of an ironic phenomenon, because so many times you hear folks, particularly on the right, saying that it's the country that shifted, not our values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the country has shifted, but it took the values with it, right? When it shifted, that's really right. I should say, though, that I think that helps understand, I think, some of the visceral rhetoric that we hear from the Christian right, this thing about we're losing our country, right? Those kinds of things that we hear, there's a way in which that's true, right? If you think about values around LGBT inclusion, values around racial justice, I mean, these are places where the country is moving, and they're moving away from the values that particularly white evangelicals held, 50 years ago. So there's a way in which the country is moving. But it does have the shoe on the wrong foot, right? It's not that sort of white evangelicals are representative of the country anymore. In fact, they're just increasingly outliers from the rest of the country.
Robbie, you've got research suggesting that in the aftermath of the January 6th assault on the Capitol, a number of white evangelical Christians may finally be ready to say, to hell with it. What are the numbers and why are they so significant?
Yeah. It's interesting watching particularly white evangelical favorability of President Trump throughout his term. And what's been remarkable is despite any number of scandals, statements of support from white supremacist groups, negative statements about African-Americans, negative statements about sexual assault. I mean, you kind of pile them up. White evangelical support for Trump has barely wavered throughout his presidency. And we see like some modest pullback. His high water mark in the last year was right around March of last year when he finally sort of stepped up and made some public statements about the pandemic as it was and named it as something real. But then there was a kind of erosion across the year. It picked back up ahead of the election. And then after the election, we have seen some drop off, but I want to put this in kind of careful context because we had 81% voting for Trump. His favorability after the insurrection dropped 62%. Right. So but that is, in fact, where it was on average in 2019. So while we are seeing some pullback, it's nothing dramatic and nothing kind of out of step. It's just at the lower end of the range that it has kind of been throughout Trump's presidency. So I would say that there's certainly been some pullback and I think some concern and obviously some high profile, people have left. Beth Moore, a long time, very popular Bible teacher in Southern Baptist circles. And now she's no longer Southern Baptist this week, essentially over Trump's kind of takeover and the Southern Baptist refusal to call him out on sexual assault and racial justice and a whole number of things. So I think there's been some of that. I'm not quite convinced that it's a game changer or anything is moving evangelicals as a whole somewhere new.
Do you think that with Trump out of the public eye as much as he was, that his influence will abate, or is this something that's going to be persistent among white evangelicals as we move forward?
Yeah, my best guess is it's going to be something persistent. The tie between Trump and white evangelicals was very strong. And I think as long as he is seen to be someone who may be waiting in the wings for another run, still at the helm of the Republican Party, as the recent CPAC conference, really showed. I mean, he still is the face of the Republican Party. I think as long as he's in that position, and this is, I think, something we've seen historically, the evangelical tie to the Republican Party, I think now is actually mediated through Trump. I think they first got to him because they were Republican, and that got them to Trump. I think now actually it's the other way around. They are Trump supporters who also happen to be Republicans.
So you wrote in great detail about the lingering collusion of white supremacy and American Christianity in your book, White Too Long. Are there other areas of fossilized alliance that might be eroded by the outrage of January 6th? And is the event uniquely powerful in the public imagination, or was it more a culmination of disappointments that finally found a reason to turn away?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think time will tell. It's not maybe the most sophisticated answer from a database person, but I do think with these kinds of events, it does take a while to see how it shakes out, right? There's a kind of initial reaction, and then there's a longer-term reaction. That's what's really going to matter. We're certainly going to be tracking this at PRRI across this year. One thing I will point to that is actually predates the insurrection events of January 6th are that we did see some effects of the protests for racial justice across the summer that I think are significant. And here's what we saw is that we've been asking questions really since the beginning of the Black Lives Matter movement around whether people see the killing of unarmed African Americans by police as either part of a pattern of how police treat African Americans, or whether people just see them as isolated incidents, right, that aren't connected, kind of one-off bad actors. And so this is essentially a question about systemic racism. And what we have found really up until this last year is that all white Christian groups, white evangelicals, white mainline Protestants, and white Catholics, overwhelmingly, more than 7 in 10, saw these events as isolated incidents. They did not see the systemic racism in these events. In the last year, as we asked this at the end of the summer last year, we actually saw movement among about a 12-point movement among white mainline Protestants and white Catholics, moving more towards seeing these as events that are indicators of systemic racism. But we did not see any movement among white evangelicals. So what I think we may be seeing is a kind of opening up of a gap in the white Christian world between white evangelicals on the one hand that remain as dug in as ever, and white mainline and white Catholic Christians that are kind of being moved by the events on the ground.
Interesting. Very interesting. The tireless boosters of our previous president, starting with the Family Research Council, are now equally tirelessly sniping at the Biden administration. Is there a chance that this ongoing misuse of religious credibility for political partisanship will exhaust the people it's aimed at influencing? Is it going to work?
I think it's already happening. I mean, in fact, I think this dynamic of having particularly conservative white Christian wagons hitched to partisan politics has been part of the loss of influence among young people for a couple of decades now. When we survey people under 30 and we ask them about religion, and they're particularly those in the Christian world, they will name partisan politics as something that's a turnoff to them, that religion has become about not just about politics in general, but about partisan, like one party's politics, particularly the Republican Party. the effects of that have been dramatic. I mean, if you look at seniors today, for example, you know, about a little more than one in five of seniors today identify as white evangelical, to take that group. And if you look at Americans under the age of 30, that number is 8%. Identify as white evangelical, and they've gone into the category of not being affiliated anywhere. So again, if you look at seniors today, they're only about 1 in 10 religiously unaffiliated, but young people today are 4 in 10 religiously unaffiliated, right? So and again, part of this dynamic is this kind of overt connection to partisanship, particularly in white evangelical circles.
Very interesting. So I know you've got multiple projects going on at PRRI. I wanted to ask you if there's a particularly compelling piece of research we haven't touched on you want people to know about, or something else coming up that you want to alert us to.
Yeah, well, I'll flag two things. We're in the field right now with a survey that we're doing in partnership with Interfaith Youth Corps, IFYC, and Eboo Patel, that we are looking at the impact of religiosity on vaccine hesitancy, and so how much inroads have QAnon and partisanship and other or on the case of African American Protestants, things like you know, a lack of access and also historic discrimination by the public health sector against African Americans, but how much are these how much is religion and those kinds of things playing a role in people's hesitancy to take the vaccine, and also how might religion play a role in mitigating some of that? So that's coming up. That'll be coming up at the end of April. And then more recently next week, I should flag that PRRI, in partnership with the University of Pennsylvania, is co-hosting an event next Tuesday at noon for Anthea Butler's new book, White Evangelical Racism, The Politics of Morality in America, that is coming out in just a couple of weeks. This will be the first public event. It's coming out from University of North Carolina Press. And she and I will be sitting down and having a conversation about that book and what it says about this moment of racial reckoning that we're in.
Well, we're looking forward to that, especially since Dr. Butler will then later in the year be a guest on State of Belief Radio. So
that's great.
That's great. Dr. Robert P. Jones is founding CEO at the Public Religion Research Institute, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization conducting research at the intersection of religion, values, and public life. Robbie, thanks for taking the time to be with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you. Always glad to be here.